Hello and welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone. Ever wonder about what therapists think about relationships while you're in that chair? You know what that feels like? People are probing you, you're talking about yourself. What's really going on? Well, wonder no more. There's a new book out called How Does It Make You Feel? Confessions from Both Sides of the Therapy Couch. It's an anthology of essays from professional writers, therapists, and patients. Sheria Matenstein, a therapist and relationship author herself, is behind this very impressive project. Now, Sheri is an experienced media commentator, having hosted a radio show and appeared on dozens of programs on television, including The Today Show, The Early Show, and Good Morning America. Sheri offers workshops and seminars she gives regularly. Welcome to America Weekend, Sheri.
Thanks for having me.
You have written a number of books on relationships. This is your fifth. What prompted you to undertake this project?
I became a therapist midlife. So the whole process always fascinated me and drew me to it. And when I became a therapist after decades of being a journalist and a magazine editor, I was used to talking to people, but also revealing my own stuff. And all of a sudden, being a therapist and you're there in the room and you're supposed to be the so-called blank slate, where the patient doesn't know anything about you and you're not supposed to react, that didn't feel like the most comfortable fit. It should all be about the patient, but the therapist is in the room. And in the age of Google also, so many people look up things about their therapist that we're not these unknown entities. So basically the idea behind this book was to illuminate the process and help patients realize that we are people too. And none of the therapists in the book are, except one who uses a pseudonym because her story is called I Really, Really Hate You, and she just goes to town on a narcissist patient of hers. But the rest of us, we're revealing more about ourselves and who we really are and our vulnerabilities than about our patients. And it was a very tough process for both the therapists who contributed as well as for the patients who contributed. And again, all of them were professional writers, but in a lot of cases, this was a lot tougher to do than a therapy session because a couple people dropped out at the last minute because it was just so raw to kind of go back into that whirlwind, into that place. But there's 34 essays in the book, and I'm very happy with the way it turned out. And they go from funny, hysterical to tragic. And it really runs the gamut and kind of makes you wonder no more what your therapist is really like and what your therapist is really thinking.
I think this is a unique project, to be honest with you. I don't think this has ever been done before.
I don't think it has. I had seen anthologies like one called On the Couch, of course, that were all professional writers, but all writing from the patient's point of view. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I've been doing several book signings. The book just came out last week, and people have been giving the book, getting copies for themselves and to give to their therapists as well. So it's really interesting.
It's a very unique relationship that between a patient or a client and a therapist. People have done, you know, funny stand-up on it. They've done movies about the relationship. What are they really thinking about me? Do they hate me? Do they think I'm silly? These are the questions that we all have. And it's interesting, Sheri, that you approach this field from a different point of view and perspective as a writer and a journalist. So you're always curious about this. So when you were in school, were you taught that you really have to step away and really kind of divorce yourself, which was something that was foreign for you?
Yes, I'm an LCSW, which is a licensed clinical social worker. So I'm certainly not like a strict Freudian, though Freud also would go to dinner with patients and he actually went on vacation with patients. So he certainly was, a boundary breaker. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, I was definitely taught to not really divulge of yourself in the room. Like if they wanted to even give you a gift, not to accept it, to not hug if they wanted a hug. And I feel like I'm definitely, if the session is about them and I'm only going to give them information about myself if I feel it will help them. but I'm still me. Mm-hmm. Even though we're laser focused on the patient, I am still me, and I'm pretty active in the room also. I mean, I definitely let them know what I feel and what I think that they should be doing. So I'm not just sitting there listening in many cases.
Interesting approach. Well, I'd like to talk a little bit also about your expertise in relationship, because you comment on it, you write about it, you've written books about it. In all these years, my question to you is, why are we still challenged by relationships with all the information out there, with all the books, with all social media? We're still kind of challenged about being in relationship or a love relationship. What are the issues that you're seeing these days?
Being in a relationship, the idea of, oh, does this person really love me? It just hits at the core of who we are and all of our insecurities. And you can, a lot of people, when they're pursuing a relationship, they channel all that, all their aggression, all their confidence into that arena. But the relationship arena, it just rips everything else asunder. And so people are still very insecure and very needy. And a lot of the work is to help them. You have to look at, I know it sounds cliche, but it really all stems from our relationship with our parents and our role modeling and how they taught us to feel about ourselves. And if we're still looking for somebody to be our everything and fill the void and give us total nurturing and confidence boosting around the clock, that's not a good way to go into a relationship. So yeah, and especially I think in this day and age, there's so much fear and uncertainty just about the world. And so even more than ever, we kind of want that safe harbor, but we're afraid we're not going to find it.
This is true. There's always that fear, isn't it? It's everlasting.
Yes, it is. And we have to learn to be able to live with the fear and know it's just a feeling and not be ruled by our fear.
Well, so since that you've done the anthology, you didn't write the book, but you compiled the book of How Does That Make You Feel?
And I have an essay in it as well.
Fabulous. Yeah. So let me ask you, how do you feel when you're on the other side of the couch, like being on the other side of the microphone, I guess, and you're witnessing somebody's life unfolding? Does it tap into some place for you that is sometimes vulnerable and you feel affected by their story?
Absolutely. And that's why the terms for it is, what the patient puts onto us is transference, but what's triggered for us is countertransference. And certainly when there's somebody in the room who is going through or has gone through or taps into something that reminds me of an issue or someone in my life, it is there. And that's why, you know, part of the training is to be aware of that. And you have to have gone through therapy yourself, or you're just going to have two patients in the room. But there are definitely some patients who I totally, totally feel for, ache for, relate to, love. It's like a continuing storyline. What's happening next and how can I help them work with it? But you have to detach and realize my role is to help them help themselves. So even though when they're with me, it's such a vital relationship. And when I know that I'm really in their head, it's when they walk around and, you know, they say, I ask myself, what is Sherry thinking of this? One of my patients, we joke, she walks around with pocket Sherry. And that's, you know, hopefully that's a good thing.
In the remaining minute that we have, Sherry, you mentioned there was an essay about I Really, Really Hate You. What happens if you really just don't like one of your clients? Maybe you can share a little bit about that story.
Yes, and this is a good friend of mine, a fellow therapist, and you know who she her the name she's using in the book is Beth Sloan, because this is a very narcissistic, brutal patient, and she really triggers for the writer memories of her mother, and the therapist kind of allows herself somewhat to get a bit cowed by it, and she does the best she can, but when somebody is that narcissistic and that borderline and that difficult, you know, I think at a certain point, you just have to step away. And certainly what I do when somebody comes into the room and they're so toxic and I really realize I can't work with them is, you know, I'll say, you know, I don't think that we're the best fit, but I'm happy to help you find someone else.
Very well said. I will say very diplomatic. The book is How Does That Make You Feel? Confessions from Both Sides of the Therapy Couch. Sherry Amantenstein, thank you for joining us in America Weekend on this unique project.
Thanks for having me. And the website is howdoesthatmakeyoufeelbook.com.
I'm Valerie Smaldone, spending time with you today, this weekend, on America Weekend with Valerie Smaldone and friends. And this is the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. How about an easy way to get to sleep quick and stay asleep? Pay attention if you'd like an all-natural sleep trick, because here's the biological science of it. If you're having trouble getting to sleep, you already know about drinking a warm glass of milk. Milk has tryptophan in it, and that helps you sleep. But to make it really work, drink the milk along with a saltine or small piece of bread with a small dollop of sweet jelly on it.
So tasty!
And if you take cranberries and stew them like applesauce, it tastes much more like prunes than rhubarb does.
What's the cheap psych trick? You want the tryptophan in the milk. That's what helps you get to sleep to find its way to your brain. The sugar in the jelly releases insulin, which pulls things into the cells, leaving more carriers free to take the tryptophan to the brain. The result, a better night's sleep. But you know what? You might want to check with your doctor first. Got a question? Send me an email at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Recently, Julie received a parking ticket, but she couldn't figure out why. She pulled straight into a marked stall and left plenty of room on either side. And there were no parking meters or warning signs on the street. What do you think Julie did wrong? The Final Verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Julie didn't pull far enough into the parking stall. In some states, your car must be within 12 inches or less from the curb. Other states, it's 18 inches. In Julie's case, snow had built up and she couldn't even see the curb. But snowbanks are not a valid excuse. She still has to pay the fine. And that's the final verdict.